Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. Thank you for joining this October 30th of 2014. We got one more day, and we're going to be in the eve of Halloween, which for those of you that are a little young out there still and partake in that, I'm sure you're all getting excited, especially you little kids out there that are partaking in a little Halloween fun. And it's been quite a few years since I've done that, but always like to see the little ones come to the door. So I'm looking forward to that from a different perspective. But thanks for joining me tonight on Golf Talk Live. Of course, we're live every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time until 8 p.m. And for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, I appreciate you following us. And you just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com. And up in the search key, you can type in Golf Talk Live, or, of course, I'm all over Facebook, and I'll give you that link here in just a minute. But if you want to call and speak to either myself or the guests at any time during the live broadcast, you can do so by calling into the program at area code 646-716-4667. Or you can certainly email questions or comments to me at any time during the broadcast or otherwise at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And as I mentioned, of course, on social media like Facebook, you can certainly visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/golftalklive blog. Make sure you have blog on the end of that. And appreciate it if you'd like the page while you're there as well. Always keep the page updated with who's coming on the program. And also for those of you that are on Twitter, you can certainly follow me on Twitter at Ted and Buck CEO. That's Ted and Buck CEO, CEO, of course, spelt in caps. And you can follow me there. That's my my Twitter handle. And again, I keep updates for the program through Twitter as well. So appreciate it if you follow on both of those social media formats. And last but not least, of course, if you want to visit the Golf Talk Live blog, you can do so at www.golftalkliveblog.com. And I'm going to be making some changes on that for the new year as well. So keep posted for that. I'm very excited tonight. I've got another great guest joining me here in just a moment. But let me just, again, remind everybody that the broadcast is live here on blogtalkradio.com every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 7 to 9 for you on the East Coast, and I believe 4 to 6 for those of you on the Pacific Time. My special guest tonight, of course, is Kevin Lacy, PGA professional and director of golf at the Emerald Bay Golf Club in Destin, Florida. And he's also a Golf Channel Swing Fix instructor for the past 5 years, teaching a lot of you great golfers, or certainly wannabe golfers, from literally all over the globe. So he's going to be joining me here in just a second. We're going to be talking a little bit about Emerald Bay and a little bit more about golf, of course, and get Kevin's perspective a little bit on what he likes to do and helping some of those students. And also, too, as I've mentioned in the last several months, Kevin is part of a group that's been coming on here the last couple of months out of the South Coast Golf Guide, which I've mentioned several times on here. A good friend of mine, Jonathan Laird, who I've been partnering up with the last couple of years. He's sending a lot of these great professionals my way and giving them an opportunity to come on here, not only to talk about themselves a little bit, about what they're doing to help the game, but also about some of the great facilities that they're working out of here in the southeastern part of the United States. Lots of great golf down there, and especially for you up in the Northeast and colder parts of climate. If you're looking for some great golf, we've got lots of great courses down there, and you can find a good bunch of them, just like you will tonight at Emerald Bay Golf Club, right in the South Coast Golf Guide. And you can get more information about that at southcoastgolfguide.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But as I mentioned, Kevin Lacy is going to be joining me here in just a moment. And he's one of Florida's top PGA golf instructors and certainly an accomplished player. He has had the distinct honor of being named the PGA's present counsel on growing the game of golf for the past several years as well. And as I also mentioned, he's a Golf Channel Swing Fix instructor for the past 5 years and has been working with a lot of different teaching golfers really from all over the globe, and a lot of great accomplishments under Kevin's belt. And as I mentioned, he's also the director of PGA golf instruction at the Emerald Bay Golf Club here on the Emerald Coast in, of course, beautiful Destin, Florida, which is literally about 30 minutes down the street from where I am. So always glad to have a local here as well. Done a lot of great work. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Let me just tell you just a little bit about the Emerald Bay Golf Club, and we'll get Kevin on here in just a moment, and he can tell us a little bit more. Emerald Bay, as I mentioned, is in Destin, Florida, and it's a prestigious golf, really a golf community centrally located along the shores of the Choctawhatchee Bay, and I hope I get that right, between Destin and the beaches of South Walton. Destin, Florida, of course, has been a long-standing vacation destination known for its superior golf courses, and of course that tradition is exemplified here in the beautiful Bay, Emerald Bay Golf Club. So without further hesitation, let me bring Kevin onto the program. Good evening, Kevin. Welcome to Golf Talk Live. Hi, Kevin. Hi, good evening, Kevin. I'm not sure if he's still with us or not. I can hear something in the background. Kevin, welcome to Golf Talk Live. Well, I'm going to try and see if we can get Kevin to call back into the program. I'm not sure what happened here, so just bear with us for a moment here. Also, later in the program, while I'm waiting for Kevin to come back on, let me just remind everybody as well, a little bit later in the broadcast, after Kevin has been on, I'm going to talk a little bit about Tiger Woods, some of the things that are going on in Tiger's world. For example, I put three questions out there tonight that I want to sort of hopefully get a response on. And one is, what is the current state of golf without Tiger sort of leading the charge? My second question, of course, are Tiger's best days behind him? And what would happen to the golfing world if Tiger Woods was to leave the game tomorrow? Those questions we're going to answer and more. But I want you to hold that thought until, of course, after we talk with Kevin. And I'm going to read out an article that I read that was really posted back through golf.com earlier in this year, just following the Masters. And want to see if maybe some of you share the same thoughts as what's in the article here. And then I'm going to read out some of the comments that were posted following this particular article that was written back in April 29th of this year, as I said, by golf.com. But as I said, we'll just wait here for a few moments and let Kevin contact back into the show. As I said, I'm not sure what happened, but it sounds like maybe we had a technical issue with Kevin. But we'll hang tight there and bear with me. Just a couple of quick notes, as I said, while I wait for Kevin. Those of you that are following the program on a regular basis, of course, we had our Coach's Corner segments that we were doing pretty much through the spring and the summer. I am going to have those come back. I've decided to take a little break from that as I prepare for the new year. I'm going to bring that segment back, and I'm going to be sending out a schedule to all of those that participated and more. So be looking for that in your inbox. That's going to be coming out here in the next few weeks. I'm going to be sending out an email to everybody with the new schedule for next year, and hopefully you'll join on board again and commit to your dates. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the program, basically what I did was the first hour of every Golf Talk Live program, we had a segment called Coach's Corner, and a number of teacher professionals from literally all over the United States chimed in on this. And essentially what we did is we fielded some questions from some of our listeners. Most of them, of course, were email. And we try to help some of those struggling golfers out there with their golf game. And that was a lot of fun, and a lot of the professionals that joined in on the segment have thoroughly enjoyed it. Got lots of great feedback, and certainly lots of great feedback from some of the other participants that happened. But so we're going to be bringing that back in the new year, and probably going to take a little bit of break here as we come up to closer to the holiday. Obviously, we're not going to broadcast the week of Thanksgiving. Going to respect the traditions here, and everybody's going to be partaking, I'm sure, and lots of great food. So we're going to take a break during the final week here of November, and then we'll probably close off probably about 2 weeks surrounding the Christmas holidays, and then jump right back in shortly after New Year's. And I'll give you a list of the dates coming up in that shortly, but just wanted to make you aware of that. And looking at doing a lot of other things as well with the program. I'm going to be looking at traveling a little bit more with it and going to some different locations. And I did a few locations last year, and really had a great time doing it last year. I did a broadcast from San Antonio, Texas, when I was on vacation last year, and had a great time. So I see that Kevin here, is ready to join us. So let me bring Kevin on the show. Kevin, welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Hey, Ted. Glad to be here. How's your day going?
Well, it's not going too bad. I thought we had you on there a moment ago, but I think it might have been somebody else that might have called in on a wrong number that didn't respond, but I'm glad you joined us. I've already introduced you to the crowd here, so I appreciate you coming on board. But Kevin, let's start off first and foremost. Let's just obviously want to ask the most obvious question is sort of how you got started in golf and sort of what led you to become a PGA professional.
That's a great question. I get asked that a lot. Like most juniors, they pick up sports along the way. My father introduced me to golf, and I liked baseball, basketball, and golf was just a fun summer sport growing up in Michigan. But that's the beginnings of it. And then I kind of decided that, you know, this is what I really wanted to do, and to become a PGA member, and I've been a PGA member since 2005. So, and I've devoted most of my time to teaching. As a player, we all want to play this game at a high level, and
sure.
I find a good satisfaction when I teach, whether it be juniors, adults, and or tour players. So I teach
right.
all over the board there. So. And that's basically the roots of it. You know, everybody goes out and practices the game and wants to play for a living, and it brings so much joy to people to help them out in their game too. So,
well, and I think and I'm sure you can probably agree with this. I think it's difficult, really, to kind of balance both. I mean, obviously, you know, when you sort of once you've been bitten by the golfing bug, and we all would love to play at that higher level, but to also tackle the teaching side of it is very difficult, really, to do both, because you need to, in order to be a top player, you've got to be able to have the commitment to be able to play on a regular basis and practice all the time, and very difficult to juggle a teaching schedule around that as well. And I think that's why a lot of the you know, it's kind of interesting, and I don't know whether you've felt this way, you know, as time has gone on, but a lot of teaching professionals have told me in the past that one of the things that they found very surprising, you know, a lot of them got into the profession, obviously they wanted to help others with their golf game, but they got in thinking, wow, this is going to be great, I'm going to be able to play a lot of golf, and quickly found that golf is probably one of the last things they get to do, because they're just so gosh darn busy. So, and I'm sure you've probably found the same thing at times.
Yeah, I find that true, and I do schedule times for myself, and I'm fortunate that I do ball teaching, and with teaching golf, what I predominantly do with my lessons is I'll spend time with them on the range, but for the most, as some of your listeners will gladly hear this probably, because I take the golfers out on the golf course, and I do that routinely because I want to see how they perform out there. I get the best sense to see what they do when they set up to a golf shot, and get a feeling for what they're thinking before they actually hit the shot too. So, but in regards to your question of playing, I do pride myself on keeping sharp and playing with my students as much as I can, and always never saying no to someone who has a 911 call, fix my swing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's true. And I think a lot of the men and women that are in the profession, I think, are starting to realize that, you know, they've got to find balance. I mean, it's great to have your teaching schedule, you know, your calendar filled up, but at the same time, you've got to schedule yourself in there as well, because it's important for us to stay sharp. I obviously teach as well. And, you know,
As you know, that's tough to balance. There's 24 hours in a day, and it's tough to
Well, and
balance
on
it.
top of that, you got, you know, possibly some family commitments and things like that. So you got to kind of juggle all that in there as well. And it can be difficult at times. So it's very hard for those of you listening out there that maybe just don't, I mean, they think it's very glamorous all the time. And it certainly is an exciting industry and an exciting business at time, but it is a lot of hard work. And to sort of stay at the top of your game, it is a commitment on both, whether it be the playing end and also the teaching end as well, because you've always sort of got to keep up with what's happening in the industry as well,
Yeah,
all the different
that's
changes.
so true, Ted. The industry changes with regards to equipment. I'm the
Yep.
director of instruction at Edwin Watts, so I see all the new
Mm-hmm.
equipment come in, and the teaching practices. There's philosophies. There's all sorts of things. You'll get phone calls. I'll get phone calls with the new teaching method. Have you seen that? Can you teach it to me? So, and
Oh
I pride
yeah.
myself on not teaching a model swing. I'll take the
Right.
golfer as they are, and we work with their skills and develop it that way.
Well, and I think that's the smart thing. And I think a lot of them are starting to realize that, you know, one of the dangers, I think, and it happens really with any profession. I'm sure it's, you know, the golf industry is certainly not immune from this. But I think what ends up happening is if you gravitate, it's certainly great, and for instance, if you found something that works for you, but it may not necessarily work for all of your students. So you have to take, as you said, the student, you know, as they are, and sort of work with them. And if that particular swing philosophy that you maybe favor will work effectively with that student, then that's great. But if it's not, then we have to be careful that we don't try to push our own, you know, theories and agendas just because it might work for our own game on that particular individual.
You're exactly spot on with that comment, Ted. The golfer wants to they watch golf on TV. They want to learn. Can you teach me how to swing like their favorite player? I get a
Sure.
lot of folks that'll say, "Hey, I want to swing like Fred Couples,"
Yeah.
when their tempo is not the same. And
Don't we
you just
all?
have to. we all have to. But the big point there is to make sure that you meet their goals. So I sit down with the students and I'll ask them, what are your goals and where do we want to go with your game? And I challenge them to not just set their goals that are very reachable. I challenge them to surpass their goals as well as we get more into their golf game.
Sure.
As I'm fortunate here at Emerald Bay in Destin, Florida, I get to see all sorts of golfers from every age
Yep.
bracket, and I am also have tour players that I coach. So it's kind of fun to see the developments along the line, and from lesson to lesson, as you know, you have to change gears. You may have a very beginner golfer, and then you'll have an advanced golfer, so you have to put
Yeah.
that hat on as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and I know this is probably an unfair analogy, but it's kind of like trying to have an adult conversation with a 2-year-old on one hand, and then at the same time to switch gears back to the adult conversation. And I don't mean that, and obviously
No.
the listeners know I'm kidding, but essentially that analogy is sort of correct. I mean, you have to when you're working with a beginner, it's really you're kind of speaking a different language, because there's a lot of things that you can't get into because they're just not going to understand. They're fairly new to the game, perhaps. And they don't really understand some of the language and some of the lingo that goes on, and they don't always, you know, they're sort of looking at you with deer, like a deer in headlight, and
Right, they're
you know,
looking for
converse.
guidance from you as the
Right.
professional, the knowledge that you have to help them through a issue, whether it be, the golfer. As long as I've been teaching and you've been teaching, there's a lot of issues. Usually, consistency comes up. I want to be more consistent, and I've yet to
Yeah.
have a golfer. I don't know about you, Ted, but I've yet to have a golfer come to me and say I hit it too far. So,
Yeah. No,
we're working in those parameters daily to help them, reach their goals.
Right. Yeah, I have to admit I've never heard that one either. It's always usually the opposite. If it's not going in a direction they don't want, it's usually it's not far enough. And obviously down
Right.
here in the southeast, you know, especially this time of year, you're getting a lot of the snowbirds coming down here, and that's a big one for them, as they want to, you know, how do you get a little extra distance? And you know,
Sure.
the other thing too is, and again, it's not meant to be a criticism, but there is a lot of certainly great information out there, but there's a lot of misinformation as well sometimes that happens. Everybody, again, sometimes gets a little bit too overzealous with their own agenda, and a lot of times the golfers get confused. And I think that's part of the problem in today's sort of mix of things is I think the golfers have
agree.
Become
So
confused.
the interpretation, I think, a lot of times when a golfer, one of my golfers will read an article and say, can you make me do this? But they don't have the whole article. They have bits and pieces of it, and we have to piece it together to make it make sense for them, if it even does make sense. So, there's some misguidance out there as well, but you're qualified PGA professional that does it for a living like you and I do. We can sift through and find out the answers for each golfer.
Exactly. Kevin, I know you also are a Golf Channel Swing Fix instructor, and you've been doing that for the last several years. Tell us a little bit about what you do, how you're working with the Golf Channel, and some of the things that you're doing there.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastic program. Michael Breed on Golf Channel has his show on Monday nights, and the Golf Fix. And they developed a program 5 years ago to have online teaching. And what it is, it's a fantastic program because as I got into the program, I didn't realize that Golf Channel or know that they were worldwide. When it started to kick off, what happens is a golfer can film themselves in their backyard, at their golf course on the range. I've had people film themselves in the parking lot. I've had different, just to send it in and say, help me. So it's a great program, and what we do there for Golf Channel, we turn around in 24 hours. We give them a really good golf lesson with some drills to work on, and hit their issues right on. So they don't have to wait on it. It's been a lot of fun working with that program. Like I said, I've taught just about in every country from golfers all over the world. So I learned a lot from their cultures and. Some of the language that they use as well when we converse back and forth.
Well, and I think I think if you sort of break it down, I think most of the golfers, regardless of what where they're coming from, I think essentially want the same things. They obviously want to be able to hit it more consistently, and they want to obviously get that extra distance when they can. But ultimately, we all want to score better. That's the purpose of playing golf. But most importantly, we want to have fun while we're doing it. And if we're not having fun, then it's very easy for somebody to become sort of not disgruntled, but certainly disillusioned, if you will, and tends to drop out.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to remember as instructors, that we have to make sure that above anything else, we have to make sure that the students are having fun and enjoying it.
The fun's the big part. And when you teach and I teach, the thing that I look for is I wish I would have had a psychology degree to some extent, because when we're on the range trying to help that golfer that has hit the wall with whatever issue they may have, and you have to talk them through it. And I pride myself in doing that to help them have more fun and realize that it is golf and that it is fun, so that their next shot is always going to be better than the last one. So you keep that moving forward.
Exactly. Kevin, I'm just going to ask you a little bit, too, obviously, about Emerald Bay. That was one of the other reasons I wanted to have you on the program tonight. But just to the listeners out there, just a quick note for any of you that are tuning in and you want to, at any time during our conversation here, you want to give a call into the program, you can certainly do so by calling area code 646-716-4667. That's 646-716-4667. Certainly love to hear from you, and you're welcome to call in at any time during the broadcast. Kevin, of course, you work at a great facility down in Destin. I love Destin. I'm over here, of course, in Panama City Beach, Florida, just a hop, skip, and a jump down the road. But obviously, I make a frequent pilgrimage, if you will, down to Destin, because you're just about 25, 30 minutes down the road.
Right.
And, Emerald Bay is certainly a great golf course. I read a little bit out there. I know it's a golfing community as well. Tell us a little bit more about it and some of the great things that you're doing there at Emerald Bay.
Absolutely. Emerald Bay Golf Club is located in Destin on 98, and it was built in 1991. The family that built it, the Osbournes, built it, and the designer was Bob Cupp. And what we did recently, we did a redo of the design. We brought in Bob Cupp and the owner, and he has three sons that do a fantastic job. We have Buster, Peyton, and Garrett that do a good job. They went around the golf course and remapped a lot of the holes, redid some of the holes, and every green is brand new. All the bunkers are state-of-the-art. They're called Billy Bunkers, and they're just fantastic to hit out of. We built more tee boxes so that you can have more enjoyment in the game. We have five separate tee boxes which, you know, Ted, with golfers,
yep.
they, as we get older,
yep.
we lose some distance. So we, in the PGA, we have a great program that says tee it forward. So
right.
I'm finding that our members here at Emerald Bay are playing and actually having birdie putts now because we've moved them up a tee. So played here recently. If all the audience is listening, please come out and see us. It's fantastic. It's the best course in the area. I've been here for 16 years in Destin, and it's the best course in Destin right now. And it's a must play if you're in the Southeast as well. So, but all the greens are brand new, Bermuda Ultra Tiff Dwarf, and tee boxes are new. Bunkers are brand new. We've redone some of the holes. It's beautiful golf course to come out and see us.
Now, you've touched a little bit on this. You'll understand when I ask this next question, but maybe you can expand a little bit more. Obviously, Emerald Bay is a type of course that has a little something for everybody. How does it set up for the less experienced golfers out there? And then tell us a little bit more what they do to obviously make it a little bit more of a challenge for some of the more experienced players.
Well, great. Let's start with the more experienced players. We've got we've added 400 yards, so we're at 7,050. It's very challenging for at that level, being at sea level too. So that's not an issue with the very good golfers. The ones that we want to capture are the golfers that are, you know, getting into the game. We're always trying to grow the game, and we wanted to make it more enjoyable for them. So by adding a fifth tee box, we have that. We have them Roman numerals, so you can play whichever number you want, and instead of playing the traditional blue, red, and white. And it's really made it easier for the golfers to have more fun. I think as your golfers and my golfers, if we have birdie putts, we're really excited. So
for sure.
That opportunity has been given to the golfers here at Emerald Bay. We've got one hole that we had, it was a forced carry, and for the most part, a lot of the golfers couldn't get over, so they'd have to go to the drop circle and drop from there. But now we have a tee box that's they don't have to deal with that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's so much more playable too, and it's really fun. So.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that I think that the industry is starting to recognize now is too. And you know, there's a lot of articles that have been written, a lot of conversation talked about some of the expansion of golf, if you will, in the 80s and even into the 90s. There was obviously a big boom of golf courses, and you know, everybody's had to be a little bigger and better as they went along. But the downside to that, and from your and my standpoint, I mean, it was a great thing. It was exciting to see a lot of these golf courses, but for the average amateur out there and the high handicappers especially, aesthetically it looked great and that, but it was a very tough challenge for a lot of these people,
right.
And I think
right.
it actually had in some ways had a negative effect.
And you're right, Ted, and that's what Emerald Bay probably had as a reputation was when I, like I said, I've been here for a long time, and they said, well, it's too tough of a golf course, or I can't play there. There's too much of this or that. So they really not softened it up, but made it a much more enjoyable experience for the average golfer to the beginner golfer as well. And again, challenging for those that want to play the championship tees.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, you know, you have to. I think one of the things that a lot of the facilities, not just courses such as yourself, but when you're dealing into some of the bigger resort courses that you see in other parts of Florida and around the United States. They obviously want to have an aesthetically appealing and to the eye and so forth, but they have to also make it accessible for really all levels of golfers. And I think for a while there, there was a tendency to focus on, you know, the bigger and the better. And obviously as the
right.
gentlemen on the PGA Tour were hitting a little bit longer, they wanted to add that extra distance as well. And what ultimately ended up happening is a lot of the vacationers really weren't having as an enjoyable time as they thought they were going to have. And I think, you know, you've seen that in the last few years, particularly some of the decline. But I think they're starting to recognize that, and it's coming back. And obviously courses like yourself are adapting as things change, as the climate changes and as the golf climate I'm referring to changes out there, courses have to be willing to adapt. And I think, you know, what you're saying here tonight that Emerald Bay has done, certainly they're staying on top of things.
We sure are. You know, it's an industry that you want to stay fresh. And to stay fresh in this industry, you have to have a product that's available for all levels of golfers. And we've done that here at Emerald Bay, and I'm proud of the family here that owns it, mm-hmm. and the family here that works here as well. We've got a great director of golf, Gerald McCall. We've got a fantastic superintendent, Scott Sewell, and we do a great job to make it an enjoyable experience from our beverage cart to the cart attendants, from the shop staff, our assistant professionals, and of course myself teaching here. I take pride in that as well, bringing a good product to the golfer.
Right. Now let's switch gears just a little bit and go back to you for a second here, Kevin. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you do, how you approach to helping those who need a little improvement in their game. And then we'll talk about some of the special programs that you're running at Emerald Bay in addition to, you know, obviously your traditional lessons.
Absolutely. Starting with teaching philosophy, what I'll do with my golfers, you know, my approach is specifically geared to help the golfer immediately diagnose the problem, Ted. And, mm-hmm. and the cause of the particular problem and when it first appears and how to correct it without wasting, you know, hours and hours of hit or miss practice sessions out on the range by yourself. So that's what I tell the golfer when they first come to see me. You'll have a golfer say, I have a slice or a hook. I can't putt or having difficulties out of sand traps. So that's what I try to do real quickly to give that golfer the confidence back that we can work as a team to get their game back on track. So that's the main philosophy that I'll use as a golf professional to help the golfer get better.
Perfect.
In regards to
let me just jump in here real quick, Kevin.
Yeah.
I hate to cut you off. Let me just jump in quick here. We've got somebody that obviously wants to come online here, so let's bring them on. Let's take a call.
Awesome.
Oh, good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on with myself and Kevin Lacey from Emerald Bay.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
My name is Jim Eamon.
Jim. How are you?
Hi,
that's
Jim.
One of my golfers there, Ted.
Well, welcome to Golf Talk Live, Jim. Thanks for calling in. You got a question for us, or are you just...
Well, yeah, I got a question. I just wanted to call in and say hi to Kevin and tell him what a great job he's done for me and my golf game since I've been coming to see him. You know, he just turned me around. I was pretty down at the time with my swing, and he just gave me so much confidence in my in myself and just turned me around. It was just unbelievable.
That's awesome. Thanks, Jim. And you keep me posted with all your progress reports, too. And that's what I like my golfers to do is when you do select me as your coach, I work as a team. So it's not my way or the highway. We talk about the things that we want to work on, and we get goals together to get there. And building confidence is a big portion of this game, to have that confidence to take it to the next step. So thanks, Jim. That's always good to hear your voice and talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, no doubt about it, Kevin. The only thing I would ask you is, any good tips on me making more birdies?
Making more birdies, yeah. That's always a good question to answer in field. When I tell my golfers to make more birdies, we've got to keep the ball in play, number one, and then we have to work on our short game. So the short game is included. When you work with me, we talk about the 100-yard shot and in. So we're going to get our scoring clubs with our lower wedges, whether we have four wedges or two wedges or three wedges. And then lastly, the flat stick, the putter. We have to spend ample time practicing that. And the drills that we talk about too, Jim, when we're in our private lessons, those are the ones that I want you to work on. But again, we're going to focus on having confidence to make more birdies too.
Okay.
Jim, let me, just before we let you go here, thank you again for calling into the program. But let me just ask you a quick question here.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, as you indicated when you first called in, that there was a point when you were kind of struggling with your game, and obviously Kevin has helped you out with that.
Absolutely.
Just give us I mean, obviously you can't get into all specifics, and we're going to let you handle that in your private lessons, but just give us maybe just a little nugget, if you will, of some of the things that Kevin has helped you work with.
Oh, like I said, it's so much. He's more... He's like I was listening to earlier about being, wish he had a sports psychologist degree, and he's so good doing that. You know, as we're working on our drills, you know, he'll just you know, stand behind me. I was, you know, telling my wife how we do it, and you know, he'll stand behind me and he'll just say, okay, here's Jim Lehman up here on the tee, and he's nice and relaxed, and you know, he's about to hit his driver, and I was AC just so good with that, and making relax, and just think about different things about the game, and how do you approach it, you know. He, like I said, I was struggling so much with my game. It's just like one morning, and you guys know, you know, I just woke up one morning and my swing was completely gone. Like when I first told Kevin, like I got up one morning, went down to the range, and I just, you know, my swing was completely gone. And I kept trying over and over, and different things that I, you know, learned by seeing a PGA professional before. You know, things he said to me, and I just couldn't get it. So finally, I just couldn't do it no more myself. So I finally, got hooked up with Kevin, and we talked with, like he says, with his students. He finds out what's going on with your swing, I told him what was happening, and so, you know, he gave me just a bunch of drills. Different drills.
With Jim too, just to interrupt real quick, is that Ted doesn't know, but we worked really hard, and there was frustration levels involved there. And what I'm most impressed with is Jim's turned it around. You know, we work as a team, but he's really put the effort into it as well.
Well, that's a key. Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that, you know, that was a key thing, like he says, you know, about putting the work in, and, you know, the drills that Kevin gave me, you know, just hand and eye coordination drills. No, really, at first, no big full swings, you know, just little tempo swings. You know, like he told me about, I think it was, who was it? I think it was Ben Hogan, Kevin, with the glass with the circle in it.
Sure.
Don't break the plane with glass.
Chad, we had to get Jim's swing on plane. He was over the top. So as some of your listeners are listening, the over the top moves, no fun to have. And
no.
to eradicate it, it takes some time. And like I said, Jim's put the effort and time in to get that job done.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, what I was going to add to it, Jim, was this. You know, it regardless of who you're working with and you know, the number of lessons and so forth, the key thing that I think the students, and this is what I try to instill with my students, is whatever information we're giving you, they're simply tools. And what you do with those tools is going to dictate whether or not you're successful. So the fact that you're willing to put in that hard work and willing to put in the time and effort to work on this, because it's not going to happen overnight. And anybody that fills you with that illusion is not being truthful. And it sounds to me the relationship that you developed here with Kevin is exactly what I'm trying to say here, is that, you know, he's going to give you the tools, if you will, and then it's up to you to build that ideal swing for you. And every person, of course, is different, as we talked about earlier in the program, but you have to be willing to put that time and effort in. And unfortunately, there's a lot of men and women out there that sometimes feel that they can just go for the lesson, and then, you know, 2 weeks or so when they come back for the next one without doing anything, any work in between, feel that they're going to suddenly have this, what they've been working on that day, 2 weeks ago, is going to be there miraculously the next time. And that's not the case. And so it's glad, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right. Without putting the time in, like I said, I had lessons with other PGA professionals up in I come from Wisconsin, and the PGA professionals I worked up there with for a while, they said the same thing. You know, whatever we're working on today, you got to go to the range and work on these drills, or work on whatever we're doing. He says, but, you know, don't think that, you know, if you don't go out and put the effort in and put the work in, and the next time you come and see me, you know, say to me, if this isn't working, well, you know, I didn't put the time in. But I said, with Kevin,
that's awesome, Jim. Keep up the good work. I think that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg for you to get you back into the game to a level of play that you were used to, and it's enjoyable to hear that, to see the progress that you guys are making when I put the work in and you guys put the work in.
Right, absolutely. And like I says, I've been out playing quite a few times now, you know, and I've seen the improvement every time I went out. And like I said, I text Kevin like a week ago or so, and prior, like, you know, coming to see Kevin, I was just so down. Like I said, I actually stopped playing and just going to the range, just going to the range.
Yeah.
And I finally, like I said, before I came to see Kevin, before I had this trouble about with my swing plane and swing path, you know, before I was, you know, I was always maybe shooting like, you know, in the middle 80s, the high 80s, you know, if I, my bad rounds was like in the low 90s, and next thing you know,
right,
all of a sudden I was shooting up in the hundreds and stuff like that.
Yep.
But the other day I went out and I shot an 88, and so,
excellent.
I mean, that, yeah, yeah, I mean, that that's like shooting at like an 82 for me, I mean, because
right,
it was just, you know, finally, oh, man, everything was working. Everything was working so well. And like I said, if I would still, I told Kevin, I said, if my, if I made a few more putts, I probably would have shot maybe an 85 or something. But
there we go.
Good.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
How, you know, how can we shoot lower, make more birdies, or make more birdies? There you go. Make
absolutely
more putts.
Right.
And it just felt so good. And like I said, then, you know, when you're hitting good shots, you know, that confidence, and that's even for the pros and you guys yourself, you know this, that
mm-hmm.
even the pros talk about it all the time about, you know, the confidence, you know what
yep.
I mean? And once they get that confidence, and that's what's happening to me.
Right.
You know, I'm getting my confidence back. And like I said, working with Kevin and doing my drills that he's given me, it's just turned me around completely. And like I said, I went down to the range today, and it was off windy today down on the range today. And but I still worked on the drills, and like I said, I you know, with working with Kevin, it's done wonders for me. I really thank him a lot.
Well, Jim,
well, that's great. I look forward to seeing you again, Jim. And thanks for calling in. That's awesome to hear that, and hopefully the audience and the viewers hear that as well. And we have. As golf professionals, Ted and I, we have really good
yep.
success stories, so those are fun to
yep.
hear when we hear them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the key thing is, Jim, is no matter what, go out and have fun, enjoy the game, and as long as, you know, you do that, that confidence will stay there. You're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. That's always going to happen. Even the best professionals, even the
absolutely.
Top professionals have a bad day. You know, that's certainly not something that, well, we all know what's been happening this past year or so with Tiger Woods, so we know that even he has bad days. But you just
absolutely.
Keep continue to work with Kevin and keep that positive
okay.
attitude. And thank you very much for calling in and sharing that with us tonight.
Anytime. Thanks
you
guys a lot.
Thanks.
We'll see
you
soon. Right. I'll be talking to you.
All right.
You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was a great call.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I love that. I, you know, I like when people share that, and that's one of the things that I don't know if you had heard me earlier, Kevin, when I was waiting for you to call in. One of the things that I started doing earlier this year in the program was a segment called Coach's Corner, and one of the things that I did with that is we tried to help some of the listeners out there that they would, you know, email or what have you their questions into the program, and I had a panel discussion of several teacher professionals on at the same time. And we tried
mm-hmm.
to sort of, you know, help them with the program. And that's something that I want to bring into 2015 as well. I think it's important, you know, that we help
make
it interesting.
Table discussions on
exactly.
Golf issues. Yep.
Exactly. And it wasn't just a matter of sort of having the same thing. We tried to, you know, I had a number of people that specialize in certain areas, specialize in the fitness side of it. So we tried to, you know, mix it up as well. And I think that's important. I think that getting different perspectives sometimes, what might work for one might not work for somebody else. So it's good to have that discussion. So, Kevin, that was a polite way of sort of saying I'd like to throw you in the mix when we start up again in the new
please.
Year. So I'll get you information out.
Yeah,
on
I look forward to it. You know, keep me posted on that, Ted. Be more than happy to help out and share my experiences as well with all the golf experience that I have here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Everyone that participated this year had a really great time, and several of them came back. I, you know, tried to mix it up every week with some different PGA professionals, not from really all over the United States. We had them from virtually every corner, and it was a lot of fun, and they certainly enjoyed doing it. Many of them actually did multiple shows. They enjoyed it that much, so definitely we'll keep you in the loop. Kevin, while we're continuing on here, let's talk a little bit. Let's finish up here on Emerald Bay. You were about to talk about some of the other programs. And don't forget, listeners, you can certainly, anybody else wants to call in.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, anyone else that wants to call in, we'd certainly love to hear from you. Again, the number is 646-716-4667. And, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got Emerald Bay, what we've got with the renovations that took place We were closed from February of this year, so we've had a grand reopening in August, and we have a good membership now that is a new membership. We're getting more and more. The programs that I'm starting to run, we have a membership director, Michelle. She does a fantastic job, and tournament director as well. We're starting to do ladies' clinics, finding that that's been one of the niches that I'm pretty good at with the ladies and helping them with their game. And we just had our first one, and we had really good success. And what we're doing with that is we're having about an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half clinic, and then afterwards we have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres for them. So they kind of like that to blend in. And we've had really good feedback, and they're already asking when's the next one, so we already have it on the books. We're going to have one at least once a month, if not twice. The other programs that I run here at Emerald Bay, private lessons with juniors, adults as well, and all skill levels. So don't be intimidated. I heard Ted say about the intimidation factor that sometimes on his previous programs with John Hughes from the North Florida section, sometimes the golfers are intimidated by coming to a golf professional to expose themselves. So those are some of the programs that I run. But I pride myself on private lessons on the golf course as well as on the range so that I get a well-rounded feeling of what you're doing. And, Ted, you've probably had this too with the guys and gals saying that, you know, I play good on the range, but when I take it to the course, I fall apart. So.
That's called trying to bring your range game to the golf course, and that sometimes is a challenge for a lot of golfers. You know, that's interesting that you mention, you know, about John. John said something very, very interesting, actually, the other week when he was on the program, and he talked about really one of the things that he likes to ask a lot of his new students, and that is, number one, why they play golf.
Right.
You know, what's their purpose? What, you know, are they looking to, you know, if it's a junior golfer that's maybe has aspirations of you know, not necessarily making it on the tour one day, but maybe playing on some sort of a professional level or even just on a collegiate level. And also part of his philosophy is he wants to ensure that his students are having fun. So those are really two key areas that I think that we have to make sure that we remember every time, especially when we're working with new students, to make sure that we emphasize that is, number one, why are they playing golf? What's brought them to the game, and what are their goals? What are they looking to do? Because a lot of times we, you know, as I touched on earlier, we don't want to, you know, if somebody just wants to go out and maybe play once in a while in a corporate event or something, may not necessarily want to go through the whole gamut of teaching, and they just want to kind of have a fine tuning session, if you will. So we have to make sure
plenty of those
that we understand.
Lessons. Yeah, you have too, Ted. The golfer will tell you what they'd like to do, and like you said, I start out my lessons by, what do you like the most about golf? What's attracting you to this game? And you get a lot of different answers. You get the competitive answer. You get the, I like to be outside. I like the social aspect of it. I like the fact that, and what I'll end up telling everybody that I coach is that it's a life sport. You can play well into your 80s and even 90s.
Yep.
So that there's not many baseball players or football players playing that sport.
Or
so.
Tennis. Or tennis for that
or
matter.
Or tennis, yeah. We get the tennis players, don't we? So,
excuse me.
But, yeah, That's the type of things that I'll do with my golfers, and again, to make it fun for them and keep it interesting. Instead of, you know, a golfer coming to a lesson once a week and going, oh, we're going to do the same thing. So, and you know, it's difficult to try and spice it up a little bit, but by taking them on the golf course, and that's what my pride and specialty is to have them see golf shots instead of just on the range all the time.
And you know, your student Jim there had mentioned something too, touched on actually a couple of times, you know, he referred to the confidence. And that also is really sort of falls under the mental side of things. I think, you know, and again, I use Tiger as a good example. You know, Tiger has always had a very strong mental game, and certainly he has the physical prowess. But in recent years, his mental side has I think, suffered a little bit. And I think that's really, really what sort of had him in a bit of a downturn here of late. And obviously, he's had some physical issues as well going on. Of course, you can't negate those. But that's a big factor as well that I think a lot of times gets overlooked. And as Jim pointed out, it would be great if you were a sports psychologist that was standing behind him and able to sort of help him out. And that's important, too.
Yeah, I have to give a little credit to I do work with a sports psychologist, Dr. Joseph Parent, out in California. And he's written books, Zen Golf, Zen Putting, How to Make Every Putt. So if something sounds really smart coming out of my mouth with regards to the mental aspect of the game, it's probably through Doc Joe Parent. But it does help, and I think as you teach longer into this game and you come across the golfers that have issues with their mental portion of the game, you get better at it because you know how to help them weave through those issues.
You see, and that's a perfect example, Kevin. The difference between a golf professional and many other professions out there. We're very humble. We're certainly glad to give an accolade to somebody else besides ourselves, and that's something that you'll find in this business. We're certainly not afraid to give credit where credit is due, and that's fantastic. And I'm sure if he's tuning out into the program this week, he'll appreciate those kind words. But you're so right. There's so many aspects to the game, and I think that as professionals, it's not just a matter of keeping updated with the technology and the equipment and things like that. We also have to keep updated with what because golfers change. This new millennium that sort of come through have different needs and different aspirations than maybe what they did 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, you can't just sort of teach under the same philosophy all the time. There's certain basic principles and certain things that we have to sort of follow. But the needs are changing. Time restrictions for a lot of people right now don't maybe have
exactly.
The, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a big one. That's a big hurdle that they've tried to get over. And, you know, discounting course green fees and some of the other things that they've tried to do to get people out there can be good to a point, but it can also have an opposite effect and a negative effect. So, you know, we have to make sure, number one, that we're listening to the students as they come in and find out what their goals and what their aspirations are. And as I said, not just sort of, you know, willy-nilly try to, you
right.
know, do what we feel we
no,
need to do. But
they're the boss. When they come to me, they're the boss. And when we talk, we work as a team to understand, again, what their goals are to help them accomplish them. But I'm also a big proponent to help surpass your goals. It's amazing how so many people golfers will set their goals, and I'll go, you can do better than that. I know you can. So, and I'll push them to that limit depending on what they're trying to do with their game. So you run into that problem or issues as
yeah.
well, Ted. So it's fun. It's a challenge, and I accept it, and we go after it each day.
Well, you know, the thing is that you know, as professionals, we have to be challenged as well. It's not just about the players. I mean, obviously, we're there to help them, but we have to feel like we're being challenged, and some days we're challenged more than others. But you know, it's that's what makes it interesting. I think that's what makes it a fun job as well, is the fact that we're not dealing. I think if you were dealing with the same thing day in, day out, it would become very mundane and very boring. But because we are dealing with different skill levels and different new challenges and
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Within the segments of your lessons, whether they're I always call my lessons are a metric hour. They're longer than an hour. So
yeah.
I don't like to put a time clock on somebody's golf game. I like to make them feel comfortable that we're going to accomplish what we want to and surpass it and give you more things to work on.
Right. You know, there's been a lot of changes, and I've made no bones about this on the program before. There's certainly been a lot of changes in the industry over the last couple of decades, obviously with equipment and technology and things, some good, some not so good. I'm sure that you've I don't know how often you've had a chance to go down, whether you make it every year or not, but obviously you've probably been down to the PGA merchandising show.
Oh, the PGA show. Yes. Last year and the year before, and it's just amazing the equipment that's out there to help the golfer or confuse the golfer at times. So,
yeah, exactly. And this is really where I think that we have to find a sort of happy balance. And one of the things, and I'm all for, and I've, again, made no bones about this, I'm all for the technology. I don't want to give any illusions that I'm not. But I think sometimes we have to remember to put it in its place. It's there as a tool for us to help and not to sort of take over the lesson. And I think, unfortunately, I think at times it's happened. And as mm-hmm. I've always said to some of the others that have been on the program, we have to keep mindful of the fact that at any time the power could go out or the batteries could die, so that equipment may not be there. So we
right.
need to make sure that we have something we have our own backup system, if you will. And I think, unfortunately, and I've seen this many times in some of the different chat groups, whether it be on Facebook and other social media, where there's some very heated and heavy discussions about technology. And I think one of the things that we have to be careful of is that we don't lose the integrity of our profession through technology.
Correct. And that's the golfers that take lessons from me, I use video sparingly.
Sure.
To show
yeah.
a visual. If they want to be numbers oriented, I can take them up to Edwin Watts and put them on the launch monitor, and we can dazzle
right.
them with all the numbers and say this is going to work
yeah.
for you. And I can work both ways that way. My preference
yeah.
is to be more human and let's figure this out as the game has progressed. But the swings really
exactly.
and the scores are almost all the same. So it's
yep.
a fun time to be in the game. And it's also
yep.
you have to, like you said, keep on top of things too.
One, you know, there's really two markets that are really sort of emerging with really leaps and bounds in many ways. There's still a long ways to go, and you touched on one earlier a little bit. But, you know, obviously the junior programs are very important to keep going. But also the ladies. There's a lot of women that are sort of still sitting on the fence. Some have sort of dipped in and recognize the values both as a fun and entertainment aspect, but also as a business opportunity to incorporate golf into their business life. So there's a lot of opportunities, a very huge market that's really untapped in many ways. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do. I also host, in addition to this, another program on Tuesday mornings with LPGA professional Cindy Miller. And it's geared for the women of golf, and it's to really
right.
help the ladies out there. It's, you know, even though ladies have played for many years, it's still, in comparison to the men's side of it, it's still an untapped market. So
sure.
A lot of work to do
well,
there.
I don't know if you've noticed it too, Ted, over the years, in the last few years, I've had more and more women coming into golf
yeah.
and taking lessons, which is great to see that development. And the juniors always trying to keep them involved in the game as well as a challenge, because there are so
yep.
many other opportunities out there to play different sports or do different activities.
Right. Exactly. Kevin, I think we've got somebody else here on the line, so let me bring them in and join the conversation. Good evening, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on here with Kevin Lacy and myself. Welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Oh, thank you. I have been taking lessons from Kevin for about 3 years now, and so I just wanted to chime in and kind of let everybody know what a fantastic teacher and some of the big improvements I've made and especially some of the things mentally he's done for me. So,
hey, who is this?
Yes.
Steve Jenkins, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing well. I mean, it was great to. I'm in D.C. right now on business, so I haven't got to see Kevin for a while. But
good. So our TED show's all over the place. That's great, where we can listen and keep in touch.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes. No, I was just going to say one of the really positive things that Kevin did for me, one of our last lessons we've had a while back, was he got me to think positive about my shots. And so
uh-huh.
I was getting down on myself after each shot. So he would go in and he put this little kind of three-part together that, you know, did you hit the ball the way you wanted to? Was the trajectory right? Did it go in the right direction type thing? So that even if I hit a bad shot, I could find positive things out of it, which then turned around and made me have a good time playing golf. So that was something that's really worked well.
Well,
let me pass that on.
Well, that's fantastic. Hold on with us for just a moment or two here, Steve. Let me just share something with you, Steve, that I've learned over the years. I've played, I hate to say this, but I've said it many times on the air. I'm 50 years old this year, so I've been around for a little bit. I played golf since I was actually earlier than 7 years of age, but I played for a long time, taught golf for a number of years as well. And one of the things that I've learned, and something that I've seen in the last several years, is, you know, everybody's sort of in pursuit for that picture perfect swing, and a lot of people negate the mental side, as I was just mentioning a few minutes ago. And what you just sort of shared with us here, Steve, is something that's very important, is sort of reinforcing that positive mental approach. Because what ends up happening with a lot of golfers, and if you look at some of the golfers of old, like, say, Lee Trevino, who certainly by today's standards would not be considered to have a great-looking swing, but certainly had a very effective swing and was able to score and win many tournaments. But he mentally had an ability to see himself through difficult shots. They all have bad shots. Even the best players in the world have bad shots, but they're able to let them go and move on to the next shot, and they don't dwell and focus. And that's something that I think a lot of amateurs really particularly struggle with, and that's great that Kevin is helping you with that, because that to me is the physical side is something that is actually easier, I think, to teach than the mental side.
I agree. agree. And hey, Steve, keep up the good work too. As the listeners will hear, that these golfers that I work with, they put the work in, and I'm just an instrument that helps them get there. So I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all my golfers that go after this game and keep positive about it and have fun with it. Our big theme is always have fun with it.
Exactly. Steve, let me ask, before I let you go, let me ask you one final question just with respect to Kevin.
Okay.
Was it sort of, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you worked on several aspects. Was there one particular area of your game that you were really particularly struggling with that Kevin has really sort of helped you sort of see the light and you've noticed some improvement in? Is there one area of your game particularly?
Well, yeah, one of the areas I came in and I was a horrible putter, but I thought I was doing everything right. And a couple of lessons Kevin had me going through and getting a good stroke and a good contact with the ball, because a lot of times I would go in and I'd hit the ball and I'd end up short. And so he basically said, well, why are you lifting the club up? And so I was actually putting more loft on the club than actually I thought I was doing, and I was ending up short. So a couple lessons, he straightened me out on that. And then before I go, I just wanted to say one more thing. When Kevin talked about his metric hour, I mean,
yeah.
And this is no lie, I've actually taken lessons with Kevin for an hour, and we were out there for 2 hours. And
yeah.
It wasn't in, it was just...
Let me lay a little secret on here, Steve. When a coach spends 2 hours with you, whether it be on the range or out on the course, that's usually a good indication he's having a good time. If he's cutting you right to the hour, then you know he's not having a good day. So that's a compliment.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay, good luck, Kevin. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you soon.
Good to hear from you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve, for calling in, and thanks for tuning into the program tonight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Kevin, we'll just sort of wrap up maybe a final minute or two, and you're certainly welcome to stick around as long as you like. I'm going to be talking actually about Tiger Woods here in just a little bit, so you're welcome to stick around here with me if you've got the time.
I'll hang out. I've got I like the Tiger Woods subject.
Okay.
I like to hear what's new happening with him, and if you don't mind me hanging out for a little bit.
No, not a problem. The more the merrier. So we're glad to have you here. Let's sort of wrap up a little bit, if you will, and then I'll get into that segment. Talking about Tiger. Just sort of let the listeners know a little bit again about Emerald Bay and how they can go about getting more information on that and how they can get in touch with you. And then actually, but before you do that, I see someone else has decided that they want to call in here in the last minute, and we'll bring them on here.
Excellent.
Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on here with Kevin Lacy.
Excellent. Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Hi. Good evening. You're on the air. Welcome. Hi. How are you?
Hi, this is Wilson Long.
Hey, Wilson, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And where are you? You're not in Destin, I don't think.
No, I am in North Mississippi, in Tupelo, Mississippi, home of Elvis Presley.
Excellent.
All right, Wilson.
I have, over the years, been visiting with Kevin and Emerald Bay Golf Club, and I wanted to give a shout out to both to the quality of Kevin's ability and Emerald Bay's golf course. Both the professional and the course have met my expectations. I get to come to Destin about every 6 weeks, and a part of my trip there is to enjoy time with Kevin and the folks there at Emerald Bay. And anybody that's in the listening ears ought to for sure play the golf course and see Kevin for instructions, because he is one of the best.
Oh, thank you, Wilson.
Well, Wilson, I'm going to ask
you.
That's
what I like about this game. It brings those people to it, and they appreciate what we do.
Well, exactly. Wilson, let me just ask you a couple of questions first. I want to ask you something about Emerald Bay. I don't know if you've had a chance. You said you come out here roughly about every 6 weeks, depending on your schedule and that. Have you had an opportunity to come out since the course has sort of reopened with some of the changes? And if so, what are your thoughts on some of the new changes they've made?
Oh, I think I have played the course after its improvements have been made, and all the greens have been reworked. As you mentioned earlier, the
right.
bunkers have been reworked, and it is a premier golf course. It would hold up to any of the courses in the Panhandle, and the owners have done an excellent job, and it's a friendly course for the golfers to play. So I would encourage you to take advantage of such a quality course, and you're going to miss out if you don't spend time with Kevin there throughout the Panhandle. His name is renowned as a golf professional, and I couldn't say anything more about him professionally and personally as to the quality that you would receive from an instruction standpoint.
Well, thank you very much, Wilson. That's very nice of you to say. And I'll tell our audience as well, and Ted, that Wilson puts a lot of time into his game as well, and he's very studious about it. He takes notes. We have a notebook going. That we can refer back to it to see what we've worked on, see what's worked in the past, and move mm-hmm. forward. So good job on that part. I like it when my students do take notes, and we can work together that way.
Yeah, I like it.
I'll
I like
be there on the
9th,
and look forward to being with you during that week, and encourage
Excellent.
Others to give some teaching time under Kevin's tutelage there.
I look forward to seeing you. When are you coming back?
The 9th of November,
9th.
I'll be there
That's
for the
coming
week.
Coming up. Uh-huh. All right.
That's it.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Wilson, just very quickly, if you've got just one more quick second, just if you can share just a very quick
sure.
little snippet of what something particular that Kevin has helped you work on that you've really started seeing an improvement on that maybe you were having some difficult challenges with earlier. Just something very quickly, if you can.
Well, I've had problems with my driver for years, and Kevin has been able to help me with getting my driver to be the favorite club in my bag rather than the least favorite. And
right.
in doing so, he has been able to keep the lower part of my body stationary as I mm-hmm. make my swing, and
right.
I'm able to hit down through the driver, where in the past my lower body would move up, and so he has attacked that in a very studious way, and I look forward to showing him how I've improved with my driver.
Great. I look forward to it.
Well, fantastic.
All
and,
right.
And Wilson, well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, and I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for supporting the program tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank both
Thanks,
of you.
Thanks, Wilson.
All right. Thank you, Wilson. Okay. Kevin, if you want to just sort of continue on, I don't want to
yeah.
obviously.
No, that's
you know,
good. I don't mind calling in. That's fine.
Yeah, you're welcome to. Yeah, exactly. You're welcome to call in. For those of you who are still listening out there, if you want to call into the program, I'll very quickly. The number again is area code 646-716-4667. That's 646-716-4667. So if you want to call in, Kevin's going to stick around here for a little bit longer. We're going to in a few moments. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods a little bit. And some of the things that just some thoughts that I had to share and some questions I had to ask, and we'll see if Kevin can chime in here as well. But by all means, feel free at any time to call in, and if you want to chime in about Tiger as well a little bit later on, you're welcome to do so. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Kevin, just sort of very quickly
yeah.
wrap up on Emerald Bay here a little bit, and if there's anything that you want to mention that coming up particularly, by all means, go ahead.
Sure. Just for your viewing audience or listening audience, give out the phone number. It's 850-837-5197. We've got a great staff on board here that will answer your questions when you call about the golf course for rates and so forth. We have deals going on, and they can quote those for you. We've got great professional staff. We have Trey Carroll, and we have Hudson Lindsay, and, of course, our director of golf, Gerald McCall. So please feel free to call in. And in contacting me, I'm not shy about giving out my email and or phone number, so I'll do that now, Ted, if that's okay
sure.
with you.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
by all means,
my
go
phone
ahead.
Number, again, it's Kevin Lacey, L-A-C-E-Y, 850-598-1968. And if you get my voicemail, it means I'm probably teaching, so leave a message and I'll call you back. So, and then my email is klacey, LACEY72@yahoo.com. So please feel free to contact me if you have any questions about golf. And I do lessons over the phone, in person, and through Golf Channel Swing Fix. So, but those are my final thoughts with regards to what I do, Ted. It's not all about me
perfect.
All the time. So I
exactly
to you and the
golfer. Perfect. Perfect. And just one last thing very quickly. For those of you that like to do a little web surfing, you can also visit the Emerald Bay Golf Club website. It's emeraldbaygolfclub.com. Make sure that you go and visit there. And again, you can get in touch with Kevin and talk a little golf. And hopefully he'll be able to, which I'm sure he will. From what I've heard this evening, he'll be able to help you with your game out there. I wanted to talk about Tiger Woods. Let's shift gears here, Kevin, while we got the last segment of the program here. I want to talk about Tiger. A little bit what's gone on earlier in the year. There was an interesting article that I came across the other day, and you may be familiar with it or not. It was written, the source was, of course, golf.com, and it was posted back on April 29th of this year. And the headline really kind of caught my eye, and it says, "The coming Tiger crash, Woods' absence spells trouble for the golf industry." And it was written by Josh Sens, sort of give him his credit. And I'll read the article here in just a moment, and then I have a couple of questions really that I sort of came up with that I thought really sort of epitomized what's been going on. But let me read the article here first. He starts out, Josh starts out, how much is that Tiger in the window? Of course, trying to be funny.
Right.
The one with the bristly disposition and the bulky back. Let's call it $15 billion. According to one estimate, that's the price we might ultimately pay if Woods remains removed from the competition. Now, this, of course, article was written just to bring everybody up to speed, was certainly written after the Masters tournament, and a lot of the inference in this article is going to refer to around that time. So I know it sounds a little dated, but there's some points in here I want to make. You knew the signs weren't great earlier this month, referring again to April, when ticket prices for the Masters fell after the injured one announced that he'd missed the event for the first time in his professional career. Single-day badges, which had sold the day before for $1,165, plunged to $940, what he indicates here, a drop of about 20%. Small potatoes, right, but then came the tournament itself, which drew a paltry 7.8 in the TV ratings, the lowest since Phil Mickelson's 2004 win on Easter Sunday. Sure, there were a number of contributing factors, Phil missing the cut, a lack of back nine drama, balmy weather across the eastern seaboard that was coming off a brutal stretch of winter. Still, no one doubted the strongest force at play. Even with the absence, Tiger was the elephant in our living rooms. The Masters, of course, is a different sort of beast with just really three sponsors and only 4 minutes of commercial every hour, Kevin, which we know is one of the nice things that we enjoy watching about the Masters, is not bombarded every 2 seconds with commercials.
Sure.
One year of skimpy ratings certainly doesn't does little, if any, financial damage to the broadcast network, of course, referring to CBS or Augusta National itself. The advertising deals, of course, were done well before the tournament, says Neil Pilson, former president of CBS Sports and founder of Pilson Communications, a consulting firm specializing in sports, television, media, and marketing. What's more, Pilson points out, sponsors see the Masters as a prestige buy, not a ratings buy. They're playing for association with tournament golf's most prestigious brand. In that regard, Pilson says, Tiger's no-show doesn't really make any difference at all. But the first year's major has come and gone, of course, and at that time, world number one remains a spectator who he's bound to miss probably at that time the U.S. Open. What if he lingers, you know, on the sidelines, was one of the questions he posed. And really, there's a little bit more that goes on here. I'm not going to get into everything here, but the general point really that I wanted to make is, and there's really three questions, and we'll sort of break them down here. The first one is what really is the current state of golf without Tiger sort of leading the charge? Are Tiger's best days behind him? Many people have referred to that. And what would happen if Tiger left the game tomorrow? The first one, I think, is what the current state. I want to actually, let me go back here really quickly, Kevin, because I want to read something.
Right.
There was a comment that followed. I copied some of the comments down after the article. And this gentleman here wrote April 30th of this year. He says, "I used to love to watch the PGA Tour and never missed a minute of the Masters and the U.S. Open. This year, if I watched an hour of the Masters, I'd be stretching it a little. Today's players, in his opinion, are boring, mechanical, personalityless, just sort of invented a new word, arrogant, entitled, cloned, etc." And he goes on and talks about a few specific things. One of the things I think that's happened unfortunately, both good and bad, with sort of Tiger coming on the scene, is it certainly brought in a wealth of not only money and resources to the PGA Tour and some of its outlying brands, but it also brought in a new sort of army, if you will. I don't want to call it an army, an Arnold's army, but his
right.
own army, if you will, of followers. But it's also worked as a double-edged sword because now everything in golf seems to be measured against Tiger Woods. What are your thoughts on that as we tackle sort of that first question? Where is the state of golf, in your opinion, without sort of Tiger Woods in the forefront anymore?
Well, you know, those are big shoes to fill. We're fortunate enough to be in the presence of his great years, and now he has to have a rebuilding process taking place. You know, once again, we've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state of the game, younger players are starting to step up. You know, the number one player in the world, Rory McIlroy, is 23
yep.
years old. I don't consider him boring. He's fun to watch. You know, his hip speed is the fastest that's ever been tested, I think, at the PPI, Titleist Performance Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when everybody is entitled to their opinions, but you have players like that are coming to the forefront. But the state of the game without Tiger, there is a lack of – I have golfers
sure.
that I coach that say, oh, he's not playing, I'm not going to watch this weekend. Or
yep.
did you? I'll ask, and maybe you'll ask too, did you watch the
yep.
golf tournament this weekend? No, where did they play? You know, was Tiger playing? So that's still out there. You know, that's the state of the game for that purpose. And then one of the answers to one of your questions that later on is the – process of getting a comeback. You know, the United States, we're all for comebacks. We love comebacks.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to be anticipating as he makes his return back to golf. And he's a competitor, and he wants to come back, and he's told us he's coming back, and it'll be on his time this time. So
sure.
And that'll be fun to watch. So the state of the game is without Tiger, there's you know, it needs a Tiger, and we also need some new players to step forward to have that excitement level be brought back into our living room.
Well, and I think, too, you know, and you kind of have to look at things in the way the world is today. And unfortunately, and not to sort of, you know, cast blame anywhere, but I think the media has a little bit of responsibility to share here as well. I think they've certainly, you know, built up the game around Tiger as though it was his own. And I think what's happened is it's kind of like a deflated tire now. You know, you're driving this car down the highway and your tire's deflated, and you know you're trying to get it inflated again in order to be able to move on. And it's just
right.
for some reason there's a slow leak and it's just not being patched. And what's happened is I think, and I'll read out very quickly here just another gentleman that did it sort of along the same lines as the first one. He said, parity is boring. No matter how high the quality of play, a level playing field where there is a different winner each and every week is boring to all but the hardcore fan. The casual fan did not spend Saturday night talking about Jordan Spieth and then in brackets sort of who and making plans where to catch the back nine on Sunday. So, you know, there's obviously a camp of people who are a little bit bored with the current play, but you know, there's not always going to be a Tiger Woods making that Sunday charge all the time on a regular basis, or as Nicholas did and Palmer before, and so on and so forth. Those players are very unique. The game has changed so dramatically in the last several decades. As an example, you have a more international field now playing. It's not just here in the United States, but there's a lot of players, very accomplished players from around the world, like Rory, of course, and others. And so the level of competition is much higher than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and certainly people can debate that. So there's a lot of factors
right.
involved. And I think people are, you know, again, not to knock what Tiger has done, but I think there's been too much emphasis, and I think the media has a little bit of blame to share there by focusing on, you know, if Tiger's not in, well, let's not have a party this week.
I agree. I agree with that point of view too, because, you know, the media will say that, you know, even if he's back, they're still saying that, you know, the intimidation factor's not there anymore
right.
that he used to have. And with any professional athlete that's played at that high of a level, it's hard to sustain that level, whatever sport it is. So, When Tiger does come back, there's going to be some excitement because he'll come back. He's already told us.
Yep.
So, and we're all looking, at least the golf industry, they should be looking forward to it.
Sure. And this, let's move on, to the next question. And I know you touched a little bit about this, but in your opinion, do you think Tiger's best days are behind him? And if so, why? And what do you see for the future?
That's hard to answer with a yes or no.
Right.
His best days behind him, I believe one time in one of his interviews when he had, I can't remember what year it was, but the media asked him, is this your best year? And he said, not by a long shot. I think when he was 12, he won 48 tournaments or something. So,
yeah.
If you take the totality of his career, it goes back to his amateur days as well. So will we see better Tiger days? I think so. It'll come sporadically as we see the golfers out there that are playing in their 40s. We have the Jim Furyk. We have Phil Mickelson. And you have on the Champions Tour as well, the players that are playing really well. So will we see better days with Tiger? That's obviously up to him. He's up for the challenge. Let's see if his game and body can withstand some of the challenges from the younger players as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I sort of, agree with you as well. I think that obviously, he's certainly got plenty of great golf ahead and Lord willing that his back gets fully recovered come the new year. And he's obviously had some other issues still with his knee and whatnot. But those are things that are going to creep in as Tiger, of course, gets older. We all feel the aches and pains, unfortunately. That's just part of life and part of the aging process. But, Tiger has been very forthcoming in the past and saying that, he doesn't necessarily foresee himself playing golf at this level for the rest of his life anyways. He has other ambitions and other things. Golf, there was a certain, I don't want to use the word agenda, but a certain goal, if you will, that he had. He wanted to come in and do what he had set in his mind for a goal. And then he wanted to do other things. He wanted to use that. And his father talked about that, Earl, for a number of years early on when Tiger first came on the tour, that really Tiger is not just about winning golf tournaments and things like that. That's really a vessel, if you will, that he is using for a much bigger part of his life journey. And so I think that the fans have to sort of wrap their mind around that. And just as they did with Nicklaus, Nicklaus came to a point, he decided it was time to retire and sort of from certain aspects of competitive golf. But the world didn't come to an end. It didn't and sort of stops, stand still. And I think people just have to understand that certainly want Tiger to come back. But again, it's going to be on his time and have his own free will.
Right. And he will, it'll be a good day when people see him come back and the expectations will be high. He'll be measured against his standards. He will also be measured against what he says to the media and go from there. And there'll be people that will align with him and people that will not. It's just like in any sport, they have their favorites.
Sure. And the sad part of it is there's always going to be something that's going to come out of his mouth in an interview that, most people will get and understand. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but there's always somebody that's going to put their own spin on it. Will say, I wasn't putting that well today or I wasn't playing at my best or my A game. Then suddenly the media headlines are, are we experiencing the next Tiger slump? And,
right.
I understand
sure.
they're selling their papers and their blogs and whatever, but it's just something that I think that as an audience we should look at it as feeling very blessed to have, whether he stopped tomorrow, and that's going to be my last question here on Tiger, is what would happen if to golf Tiger left the game tomorrow, if Tiger Woods had an interview tomorrow and said, I've changed my mind, I'm not going to be playing in the 2015 mm-hmm. schedule, I'm doing other things, what would happen to golf?
Well, like in any sport, golf in particular, the greats have left the game. The interesting thing about our sport is that you can stay in the game for quite a long time and play at a high level. Other games, when an athlete says they're retiring and they're at the ripe age of 34 or 35, everybody goes, well, he's so young. But
yeah,
golf, we can keep moving forward. So if Tiger decided that, that's the end of it and he's going to work with his Tiger Woods Foundation, more people will be served by that. So the game will continue. We've had greats before. We'll have them in the future. So I look forward to the greats stepping up to the plate and taking that challenge on. There's starts of people doing that or golfers doing that. But, like you said, Tiger's unique. And just as in any sport, you have
Michael Jordan, LeBron James,
exactly,
and the football yeah. players that you talk about in any sport, so baseball as well. So if Tiger leaves the golf, golf will survive. They will miss him, but remember him because there's so much that has been captured throughout his career.
Exactly, and I think that's the way you have to look at it. You know, there's I just think there's far too many skeptics, you know, out there in the golfing world, and you know, I think what it is, you know, a lot of people out there have tried to live sort of vicariously through Tiger Woods, and again, I'm throwing the media under the bus here. I think a lot of them, you know, just it was exciting. It was sort of a high, if you will, to watch him play, and we've all enjoyed and celebrated in his wins, and you know, sort of timed our fist pumps with his. But the truth of the matter is that at some point he is going to retire, and the golf industry, as you said, will survive, and it will certainly move on. And it's not going to come to a screeching halt like some people predict. And, you know, I wanted to talk about that because, you know, everybody sort of talks about, well, what's Tiger, you know, he needs to fix this and needs to do that. And everybody wants to chime in. And it's great to have
right.
an opinion, and it's great to have thoughts and input.
Well, I'm sure your golfers have asked you, my golfers have asked me, you know, what's wrong with Tiger. And we all have our own opinions about,
sure.
you know, swing fixes and philosophies about it. He's been around the game long enough. He'll figure it out whether he has a coach or not.
Well,
need tutelage.
Right, and it goes back to really something that our first caller, Jim, pointed out, is confidence. I think really the biggest issue that Tiger faced in these recent years, and understandably so, I don't think anybody, you know, unless you were from Pluto, doesn't realize what has gone on. But, you know, there had to have been certainly a shatter to his ego and to his confidence with what had happened on. I mean, anybody that would have their personal life, you know, go the way it did and have it in the forefront, especially, you know, to the level it did, that's got to affect you're not human otherwise. So, you know, and his game really, not to, you know, pardon the pun, but really went south for a while mm-hmm. after that. And, you know, it's only normal and natural that somebody is going to try to sort of reinvent the wheel to get it back in. And I think that's what initially he tried to do and had some success, but it really wasn't what he needed to do, I guess, at the point. And he will. You're right. He's a smart guy. He's been around.
Right.
He's played the game, you know, since being a young toddler virtually. And he knows how to fix himself. It might need some more time. And hopefully, as I said, Lord willing, his back will be in tip-top shape for next year. But I believe he'll be back, and I think we'll see plenty of great golf from Tiger Woods, and I think that he's going to go out on top.
I agree, and I think the guys on the PGA Tour welcome him back. They like his spirit to compete and to bring on those challenges within each tournament that he's in, whether
yeah.
it be the majors or not. So we'll see. It'll be soon. It's you know, nearing the end of October, and I believe from what I've read, he's coming back to his tournament coming up soon. So I'll be anxious to see what happens.
Yeah, I will as well. And you know, whether he makes it back in time, which I'm sure he will, but whether he makes it in time back for next year's Master or not, really at this point is not relevant. I would rather see him, if need be, delay it if he's not feeling at his best, and come out when he's really feeling fresh and that. Because, you know, I'll be honest, the thing that bothers me the most really is not, you know, how he's performing in that, but it's just all of the rigmarole that sort of goes along with, as I said, with the media and that, if he's not playing to what they feel he should be playing at. And it just really is not good for the game. And I just wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight on tonight's program, you know, following your segment there, because I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that have been sort of toiling around these questions, and it's been regurgitated for the last several years on, of course, on the Golf Channel and other forums and that. And it was just something I wanted
plus
to
he's,
this.
Plus, he's been absent for, you know, several months now. So
yeah.
it fuels the fire to talk about it and to get excited
sure.
about it, too. So that's what I'm leaning towards, is the excitement factor to come back, you know, because he says he is. So that'll be fun. And like you said, if he doesn't come back, golf will survive and,
yeah.
and thrive.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin, obviously, we all have memorable moments in golf, and Why don't we just take the last moment or two here, if you will, and I'll let you share maybe some of maybe a couple of some of the most memorable moments that you've had throughout your career as a professional. And that can be teaching, playing,
yeah,
whatever you want.
They're too hard to pick from. I'm usually fly a little bit below the radar, so it won't be about me as much as it'll be about probably a golfer that I've coached. You know, I have several juniors that I coach, and if they're listening, I sent out some information to listen in and follow your program as well, Ted.
Right.
There's too many to name, so I don't want to single out too many. They
sure.
know who they are.
Yep.
If I miss one, then the other one will feel shy about, or jilted about not mentioning
yep.
it by name. But I find the most excitement and enjoyment from having a junior golfer and watching them develop now, from having them in middle school all the way through college or high school and through college, and if they do make it on the professional level. Those are my fond memories of golf that I'm giving back to a game that's been very good to me.
Yep.
So it's hard to say that I'm not going to say, you know, I had a hole-in-one somewhere or I had a best round. So it's more about the golfers that I coach and hopefully mentor through not only golf issues but life issues as well, and teach them the proper ways to handle situations, whether it be on the golf course or off the golf course. So those are my tidbits. And again, like I told you, I fly below the radar, so
right.
you won't get much about me telling me about myself.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's fine, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. And I'm kind of along the same lines as you. I enjoy, you know, helping others when I can, and that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to bring this program to the forum that I did. You know, obviously, I'm very active in some of the social media through the different groups and things like that. And you know, there's always a myriad of discussions going on, and certainly enjoy the discussions. But you know, one of the things that I've and again, I apologize to some of my regular listeners because, you know, I've said this many times, of course, on the program to the point they're probably sick of me hearing me saying it. But, you know, I certainly love a lot of the formats out there. I certainly enjoy watching things on the Golf Channel and that. But they have their own unique perspective of things. They're looking at obviously focusing on the tours and things like that. And I'm not somebody that's, you know, going to – I don't want to come on the program or have this program to talk about stats and who's going to be this and who's going to be that. I certainly
right.
want to discuss – certain conversations like we did tonight about Tiger and that. But for me, it didn't make sense to bring another program out there, just talk about the same thing that everybody else is. So what I try to do with this program, I hope that you'll see sort of the forest for the trees, is I wanted to create a program, if you will, to bring professionals such as yourself and many others, as I said, from around the United States and abroad onto a program and allow not only the listeners, but to allow them to share and exchange ideas by having this forum. And I know that in addition to many students out there like Steve and Wilson and the other gentleman's name
Jim,
slips my mind.
Jim, yeah.
Jim, sorry. Yeah, Jim, as well, tuning into the program, there's also a number of professionals. John Hughes, you mentioned earlier, tunes into the program fairly regularly and has actually been on and is going to help continue to do some other shows with me as well. So it's a great way to exchange, and a lot of times that information is difficult to do through a social media platform like Facebook or Twitter and things like that, because a lot of times you're limited to characters and the translation kind of gets lost. So I wanted to create a forum where we as professionals could come together and talk about some of the issues, but also help some people out there. And, you know, we all have our own websites and blogs and things like that. But it was sort of an idea to bring it all together sort of under one channel, if you will, and say, hey, tune into Golf Talk Live, and we're going to have some great teaching professionals, lots of great theories, lots of great discussions, and bring it under sort of one umbrella. And then, you know, each can sort of go where they choose after that. But this was really the purpose of Golf Talk Live, and it's worked out very well so far. And we've enjoyed a lot of success with it. And as I mentioned to you both on and off the air, the audience really is global. We have people from all over the globe that tune into this program every week. And the audience is growing each and every week. And I appreciate those that you've reached out to, you know, in the last few days, Kevin, in preparation for coming on the program. I hope they'll continue to listen. We're going to have more great people, and we're certainly going to have Kevin back anytime he wants to come in. But that's really what the format is.
I appreciate that, Ted. It's, you know, the golfing community is a tight knit. Everybody that plays this game has the same struggles, believe it or not.
Yep.
No matter what level of play you are reaching, I'm asked a lot of times, are you ever nervous on the first tee? And I go, every time. So,
yep.
And I'll tell them, you better find something different to do if you're not. So that excitement. But I appreciate the forum that you have. It's a great platform to launch ideas, to have a discussion regarding our great game called golf. So anytime, I appreciate it. And you can give me a call. I'll be on anytime. It'll be my pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that, Kevin, and I certainly want to thank you for coming on the program tonight and sticking around and talking a little bit about our former number one player and probably soon going to come back in and be probably number one again, Tiger Woods. Always good to talk about him, and appreciate you coming on, and I want to give just one more sort of quick shout-out to Mr. Jonathan Laird, of course, the owner and of South Coast Golf Guide, which is really sort of how we met. Jonathan, of course, has a great publication here in the Southeast. And, of course, Emerald Bay is one of the great courses in the Destin area that is featured in that golf guide. So make sure you get a copy of that, and you'll get a little bit of information that maybe we didn't touch on tonight. And certainly you'll get information on how to call in for tee times and so forth in the guide as well for great courses like Emerald Bay. So make sure you do that at southcoastgolfguide.com, and also make sure you go to emeraldbaygolfclub.com and check out their website as well. And Kevin, you want to give out your numbers and your email one more time just for the listeners before we sign off?
Yeah, and again, please come and see us. You'll be extremely impressed with the professionalism of the golf course staff, and of the golf course itself will speak for itself. My number again is 850, that's the area code, and then 598-1968. And my email is klacy72@yahoo.com. And I look forward to hearing from your listeners, Ted. And what my tagline is, and I tell all my golfers all the time as I sign off, I always tell all my golfers to keep after it, and I put an exclamation point after it if I give them some notes. So
that sounds good. Kevin, I'm just going to say a quick couple of final words, and then we'll sort of part off, as they say, into the sunset. We'll close the program. I want to thank, of course, Kevin Lacy, a PGA professional and from Emerald Bay Golf Club, for joining me tonight. But I want to particularly thank and share this opportunity to thank all of my listeners worldwide for faithfully tuning into Golf Talk Live each week. I certainly have the honor and pleasure and enjoyment of having a number of highly talented coaches, teacher professionals, some authors on here, entrepreneurs like to stop by, as I say, and it's through their participation and guest appearances that have really helped to make Golf Talk Live a first-class show. So I want to give a special thank you to all of you listeners out there from all around the world. And just a couple of quick personal notes. Again, Mr. Jonathan Laird at South Coast Golf Guide. Thank you, Jonathan, for all your continued support, and appreciate it. And if you want to get a copy of that guide, you can go to southcoastgolfguide.com and find out where you can get your hot little hands on a copy. A lot of the great courses down the area in the Southeast, from Mississippi right over here to the Emerald Coast, are carrying the guide. But you can also, if you're out of the area and maybe you aren't planning on coming down here in the next month or so, Jonathan will actually make arrangements and have one shipped up to you. So when you want to plan your next trip down here, you'll have some information at hand. I want to thank also Meredith Kirk. For those of you who don't know, Meredith Kirk Golf, of course, from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And she was also the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina. And she just handed over her crown just a few days ago, I noticed on Facebook there. But she's been on the program. Great, great lady, a great ambassador for golf. And wanted to do something a little bit different, and she entered the contest and actually entered in the Mrs. USA competition back in August of this year. Didn't win the competition, I believe Mrs. New York did, but had a great time and just a great ambassador for the game, and also a teacher professional as well, and does a great junior program as well. So thank you, Meredith, for all your continued support, and she's actually going to be in the works of having her come back on the program and talk about her great year here in 2014. I want to also thank Nikki and Tiffany Litherland from over in Australia. Another great professional, Nikki, and his wife, Tiffany, who I believe, I'm not sure, they're either expecting or just had another little one there. I believe they're expecting still. Thank you for helping spread the word down in Australia and all around the world. And Nikki's going to be coming over here to the U.S. again shortly. And when he does, we're going to have him on the program. And I also want a special thank you to Mr. Bernie Pinder from Ontic Golf. Ontic Golf, of course, is a company which custom designs putter, which I'm the proud owner of one. Bernie sent me one off shortly after appearing on the show. And also Mr. Peter Doyle, a teacher professional, but also one of the best guys, club makers and club fitters that Ireland has ever produced. And he's over there in Ireland, of course, and he continues to support and share with his followers and so forth the program here. So I want to thank all of you again for tuning in and listening to the broadcast live here on Golf Talk Live. And just a quick reminder as well, the Women of Golf, who I share my sort of co-anchor, if you will, with none other than probably one of the hardest working women in golf today, and that's LPGA professional Cindy Miller, will be on every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. The call sign for that is, of course, Women of Golf. It's not on the Golf Talk Live. It's blogtalkradio.com/Women of Golf, and that's Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so make sure you tune in for that. And other than that, Kevin, I think we've just about thanked everyone. And again, thank you very much for joining me here on Golf Talk Live.
My pleasure, Ted. And thanks to all your viewing or your listeners. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Not a problem. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you back here next Thursday at 6 p.m. Central right here on Golf Talk Live. God bless everybody and have a great week.